You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
Yeah, I'd say we've been getting ready for this moment for quite some time. Finally, hockey in Seattle. As we open up Climate Pledge Arena on Saturday night. An event years in the making, that's for sure. Mike Salk Show here at 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com as well, and happy to be joined by Linda Cohn of ESPN, formerly of Cairo Television. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hey, it's been too long, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
I know. It's good. We've been trying to make this work for a little while, and I'm really excited to have you here. Are you coming out this weekend for the game?
Yep. I'll be there tomorrow. Really excited. And Saturday, obviously, the big event. Looking forward to seeing Climate Pledge Arena. I have just as much anticipation as all of the Seattle Kraken fan base and sports fans in Seattle. It's going to be amazing. I just can't wait to see this arena, state of the art. We know it. It's well documented what it brings to the table. Original things, you know, hanging scoreboards. The suites apparently are amazing.
Yeah.
So Kevin Weeks and I will be doing live intermission hosting right there inside the beautiful arena. I had a feeling that I didn't think the Kraken would only have one win so far, because I had very high hopes for them, and I still do. I'm not jumping off this ship quite yet. I still think they're a playoff team. That was one of my preseason predictions, and I think they'll figure it out. But the Chris Drieger injury was something we all didn't expect. So we'll see how it goes, but they will be fired up, you better believe it, for the Canucks on Saturday night.
That's pretty cool. So what will you do? You guys are doing, pre-post, between periods, all from inside the arena?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, Kevin and I did that for ESPN's opener in Vegas.
Yep.
When the Seattle Kraken were there, so I got my first look at the Kraken. I saw the first ever goal and all of the above. So we're well versed with what's going on with the Kraken. I talk about them all the time on my In the Crease podcast with Emily Kaplan, and also In the Crease Hockey Highlight Show that I do on ESPN Plus as well. So we're pumped up, and we have an amazing crew. Emily's going to be between the benches in Seattle, and it's one of 75 exclusive games that you can see on ESPN Plus. You know, for those who don't have this hot ticket, Mike, to get there, to be there in person, see the first ever home game of the Kraken, the only other place you can see it is on ESPN Plus, and it's just so exciting. I mean, or Hulu. I mean, if you have Hulu, you'll see it. If you have ESPN Plus and you don't have it yet, $6.99 a month.
There you go.
You gotta go get it. 1,000 out of market games, and you get the 75 exclusive games and everything else ESPN Plus is and brings. You know, I had to bring that up because
of course you did.
Your fans are gonna be like, "Where is it? I can't find it."
Yes, that's how we all talk here. I don't know what to do.
Well, I live there, so you know that. And actually, I say that tone
this
to everyone, every human being in the world. So
it sounded more like the New Yorkers like that you grew up around. I got to tell you, that sounds like more like the New York voice coming out of you, Linda.
Yeah, I know, but not everyone's born in Seattle.
That's for sure.
Who lives in Seattle?
So just tell me. We'll talk a little bit more about the Kraken specifically, but I've talked to Buchagross. I know you've just got to be ecstatic that hockey is back at ESPN. You've been hosting SportsCenter since 1992. It's amazing. How has SportsCenter changed since 92?
I can't remember that far back, honestly, Mike. No, but seriously, you know, I lived in Seattle. My daughter was born in Seattle when I worked for Cairo TV. An amazing experience. Back then, Seattle was on the verge of greatness. Of course, anyone who's alive and remembers what it was like from 89 to 92. Mm. But that's where ESPN spotted me, working at Cairo TV. I even covered the WHL Seattle Thunderbirds. I know how passionate and how smart those hockey fans are in Seattle. They just get it. They will bring it. They understand the game. That's great because I live in, and we all know what a great sports town it is and sports city. Because again, that's what I covered when I was there at Cairo. But, how has SportsCenter changed? Oh my God. I mean, we don't have long enough time. Just look around, look how technology, look how everything has changed. But yeah, I've done more sports centers than anybody. Yep. You know, but right now I'm just pumped up that we have hockey back, first time in 17 years. And so I'm all in on that. And that's why I'm doing, have a multitude of platforms to bring the game, to the passionate hockey fan. And what's great about, ESPN getting hockey back is that there's no better storytellers in the world than the worldwide leader in sports. Mm-hmm. So when I mean that, that people who don't know hockey don't have a favorite team, favorite player, you get an emotional connection because you tell a story about a player, about a team, and you're like, hey, I think I might check this out, you know, and then you get hooked. And of course, when you go see it, obviously people are listening now, it's impossible to get a ticket for Saturday night. But, you know, after that, you know, support the Kraken and go see a game in person, and you will be, it's in your DNA then. Forget about it. I mean, that's going to be amazing. You can't get enough once you see a game in person.
I know you played as a kid, but how did you come to hockey? What, I mean, I associate you, I assume it's your favorite sport. How did you get associated and get into hockey for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on Long Island and New York, as you pointed out with my little imitation there. But my dad, you know, no longer with us, and my mom no longer with us. But if it wasn't for them, I never would have been a goalie, a hockey player. I played hockey when I was a teenager, made the boys team in high school, and then finally played with women in college at Oswego State in New York. Now, I just love the game. It's big. It's fast. It's amazing. I mean, we all love the NFL. Let's be clear. That sport is supreme. We get it. That league is supreme. But I'm sorry, now that the NHL is back at ESPN, you're going to see some significant movement up for the fourth major sport, and it's going to be climbing. I mean, look what ESPN has done for the NBA, personality-driven. And let me tell you something. You know, there are so many great personalities in the NHL, but for me, I always say this regarding why I got into hockey, besides that I just fell in love with the sport and bonding with my dad. I grew up a Rangers fan. You know, the thing is, it's that I was a kid with very low self-esteem, Mike. I needed something to have something to look forward to. And sports and hockey and bonding with my dad over hockey was just that. And then being a goalie, I became the center of attention where, you know, when you're a kid with low self-esteem, you kind of like just, you know, disappear in your own mind. But playing a position like goaltender gave me confidence and realized that, you know, hey, I kind of like this, to, you know, be have my play, good or bad, taking that risk, determining the outcome, because the high of that is just so incredible when you make a big save in the last 5 seconds to preserve a win for your team. So that became addicting for me, and I've never looked back.
You know the voice. It's Linda Cohn. She has hosted more sports centers than anyone else in the history of sports center. It's really an incredible testament to you, Linda. Talking about this Kraken team for a moment, yeah, we agree. We thought they'd be coming home with a few more wins. How good was the competition? Nashville, Columbus, Philly, New Jersey. You know, where do they rank in terms of what we should expect out of those teams this year to get a sense as to what happened with the Kraken?
I don't think we should look behind. I mean, the good news, if you want to see some good news, except for that blowout by the Flyers, every game was close. I believe every game was a one-goal game except for that
yep.
Flyers big win when they put six on the board. So, you know, if I'm the captain, Mark Giordano, if I'm the coach, Dave Hackstall, I'm saying forget it. Let's forget about those games right now. New time, new moment. Saturday, we're going to win this game. We're good. Now, everyone said before this season that this team would be, even when the expansion draft, people were like, where are the goals going to come from? Where are the goals going to come from? Hey, they'll come. They will definitely come. It's tough when you're an expansion team and you start, you know, on the road for as long as the Kraken have. I mean, just throw in another big challenge, and that was it. The good news about that is they got to bond and learn their chemistry. I'm not panicking yet. I would not worry about it. You have to get out of your minds, Kraken fans, that you are going to overtake Vegas as the all-time greatest expansion team. Once you get that out of your head, just focus on getting enough points to make the postseason. And you're in the Pacific Division, and that is the weakest division in the National Hockey League. So things are looking good already. It's just about forgetting the past, and focus on the now. See, I could coach this team.
You got it all ready to go. You're looking forward. You've got all the right talking points. You just got to start. You got to use the Canadian accent, right? Start calling them Boyce, and you'll be good to go.
Oh, they're not. Well, maybe they're not all Canadian though. So it's a universal language of inspiration.
Yes, it's a universal language of calling each other Boyce and trying to help the organization. That's what all I hear over
there
and over
go,
again.
There you go, Mike.
Linda, it's great. When was the last time you were in Seattle? How long has it been since you've been here?
It's a great question. I actually went back with my daughter, who's now 30 years of age, who was born in Seattle. We went back about 6-5 years ago, had a great time because I moved out of Seattle when she was only 15 months old when ESPN hired me. So we had not been back. It's one of her favorite cities, besides the fact that she was born there, but that isn't the only reason. So that's the last time I was back, about 5 or 6 years ago. I was actually looking at where my old home was, where I had a home on Queen Anne, and I think it was torn down and remodeled because I couldn't find it. But so a lot has changed since, I lived there back in 92. But, man, I'm really looking forward. I cannot wait to the plane touches down in SeaTac, and I'm heading to Seattle. Wow. And I'm really pumped up to see the arena and see the Kraken. I don't know. I have a really great feeling about this. I think they'll come together and they'll find a way to beat the Canucks.
I love what you guys are doing. I think ESPN coverage has been great so far. Honestly, from start to finish, I think you and Kevin have been really good together. I've really enjoyed Buchegras. Sean McDonough is obviously a pro. It's just been really, I feel like the whole production of it has been tremendous so far. And I agree with you. I'm really glad. I think the NHL made a huge mistake when they left to go to NBC all those years ago, and I think it did kind of wipe them off the map for a long time, and I feel like the future is incredibly bright now for this league.
Yeah, you have passionate people working. We have such a deep bench at ESPN. There are just so many people involved that are so passionate about this game, even the 17 years when it was not part of ESPN. And then, you know, for our cousins there, TNT, also doing a fabulous job as well. So you have passionate people wanting to bring the game and tell stories and, you know, get a new audience and get some, you know, get some diversity, get some people who normally would not think about hockey, and now it becomes mainstream.
Yeah.
And that's what I can speak for ESPN, and that's what they are doing, because now if anyone who watches ESPN and our family of networks, and of course that includes ESPN Plus, you know, you're seeing that. You're seeing NHL being more prevalent. You're seeing that on ESPN.com. You're seeing it all of the platforms, and it's really exciting.
Mm. Well, not surprisingly, our texts here are just lighting up with people that love you, from some who loved watching you on Channel 7 to others who just said the two best guests so far on this show have been Hannah Storm and Linda Cohn. I agree. I would probably agree. We had Hannah on a couple of weeks ago. She was delightful. We finally ran out of time. She had so much to say. I want to get her back on. She was awesome too. So thank you, Linda. We go back a while, and I appreciate you coming on. We'll look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, anytime. My continued success for you, and see everybody in Seattle soon.
There you go. Linda Cohn right there from ESPN. She will be here this weekend. Games on ESPN Plus, and she'll be between the periods, et cetera, for ESPN. How about that?
She's the coolest.
I love Elko, man. She really is the coolest. It's hard to imagine that she had any sort of a self-confidence problem as a kid. And I know you should never wonder what somebody was like as a kid based on how they are as an adult. But when you see her and she's on TV, I mean, she's so unbelievably confident and smooth on TV. It really is hard to fathom. And Maura, you were talking earlier about being introverted and kind of getting into this business. That's not like that odd.
No.
Right? I mean, Howard Stern is probably the most famous example of an extreme introvert who gets on the radio and obviously is as outlandish and successful as anybody. But it's interesting, some of the people that suffer from some of the anxiety or self-confidence issues who find a home in media, and in someone like Linda's case, I mean, she's just completely thrived.
I've had this, a lot of my bosses have been that way, some of the most introverted people in the world. And then you go out in the public, or you go out in, sorry, on the radio, they're the crazy outlandish Howard Stern types. You go out in public and they just shut down.
Silent, yeah. I'm not like that.
I mean, well, it's like, I mean, to be fair, we're sitting in a room. There's three of us in a room. We don't know how many people are listening. We can't see any faces.
That's true.
It's different when you're
out
in public.
Well, we generally think it's about the same three people that are listening. At least that's what I always
assume. What's up, my mom and dad? What up?
What's up, Mom? Hope you're having a good day. It's 9:15. It's time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, Seahawks fans, those who were pining for Jake Locker, you never got your wish. I'm so sorry. I know that everybody loves the story of the Husky quarterback coming home to Seattle. Well, that one almost happened. Didn't occur. Well, now it's finally happening, but this time with Jacob Eason. He was claimed off of waivers yesterday from Indy. The former Lake Stevens star and UW starter has been drafted by the Colts a couple years ago in the fourth round. He's only played in one game, completed two of his five passes, does have an interception. He'll be the backup this week. Jake Luton and Danny Etling are both on the practice squad. Seahawks, look, I appreciate them doing everything they can to try to improve the roster. Compete every day is the motto, and this is certainly a part of that, but I do struggle to see how this is going to help. Eason's numbers really weren't as bad as I thought they'd be when I looked them up in college. In his 1 year here in Washington, completed more than 64% of his passes, had a touchdown to interception ratio that was respectable, 23-8. Quarterback rating is actually pretty good of 144. And yet the team was 8-5. They were 4-5 in the conference. And if you watched him and watched those games, he certainly seemed to struggle. Lots of errant passes, hard to catch balls, poor decisions on when to stay in the pocket, when to escape. So, yeah, we'll see how this goes. He'll be in a backup spot. The team gets back to practice today. Did get an extra day off because of Monday Night Football, so all eyes now on Rashad Penny. He's said to be fully healthy, ready to take on a key role this week. They're going to need him, too, based on the way Jake Heaps was talking about Chris Carson's neck. Does not sound good when he was talking about stingers and mentioning Cliff Avril and Cam Chancellor and the way their careers came to an end. Yeah, that's got me awfully worried. Team did work out a pair of running backs this week. B.J. Emmons and Dexter Williams were both in for a look. Thursday Night Football tonight, you get a beat-up Browns team without Baker Mayfield. They will send Case Keenum out there to take on Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, all systems go for the Kraken. You just heard Linda Cohn and her excitement level for Saturday night. They get a little rest, hopefully able to put a rough road trip behind them and maybe even get a little practice ahead of Saturday's home opener. Saw plenty of pictures from inside the arena. It looks beautiful, man. I love seeing all the people coming out with their pictures and what they saw in the media that was allowed in yesterday. I love all the glass. It just gives it a whole outdoor, indoor-outdoor feel. I love the small touches like the living green wall. Lots of good Northwest character to it, and I think it just seems incredible. Can't wait to go on Saturday night. Based on what we've heard, one thing to note, the concession prices look like they might be a little steep. What did we hear, $14 for microbrews?
$16.
Yeah.
It's a big, I told Heather last night, I only said $14.
I think it's a bigger can, though. Maybe it's 20-ounce can.
So. Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
We'll see.
All right, anyway, the prices should not surprise anybody. Look, they spent a lot of money, and the prices on construction skyrocketed during the building
there
of the building.
There are also a lot of great local bars around the area, if that's what you're trying to do.
I'm just going to guess that they're going to make their money back somehow. I don't think Oakview Group is in this thing to lose money. The NBA tipped off over the last couple nights as well. You saw double overtime at Madison Square Garden last night. Knicks beat the Celtics. Lakers lost their first game of the year, as did the Blazers, who fell to the Kings last night.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, things can certainly change in a heartbeat or in the ALCS all on one pitch. That's certainly the easy storyline. Red Sox were tied in the ninth and looked to have strike three to end the inning. Instead, it was called a ball. A few minutes later, the Astros had scored seven runs in the inning and won the game. Since then, they've outscored the Red Sox 16-1 in 10 innings. That's nuts in playoff world, especially. They got nine more yesterday, winning 9-1 in game four. So now it's Houston who heads home up 3-2 in the series. Game six tomorrow, 5 o'clock. And the Braves are certainly crashing the party. They have the Dodgers on the brink of elimination. 9-2 victory for them last night. Big night for Eddie Rosario. 4-for-5, 2 home runs, 4 driven in, and a chance to clinch tonight. First pitch just after 5 o'clock. That's everything you need to know every hour at quarter past the hour.
Okay, we got to correct this. I did get a picture sent to me from the Foo Fighters show of the beverages thing there. The local craft beer, 16 ounces, is $16.
Hey.
The local craft can is 19.2 ounces, and that is $16.50.
Oh, well, that seems worth it, don't you think?
So, I mean,
50 cents for another 3 ounces?
A little less than two beers for 19. I guess.
I'm not saying it's a good deal. No. I'm saying it's a better deal than buying it straight out of the tap, right?
Yeah.
19 ounces for $16.50. You're only adding 50 cents.
Yeah, it's just some people prefer fresh tap beer.
I prefer fresh tap beer also, certainly when it comes to microbrews, et cetera. But, you know, at some point you have to make some level of sacrifice, right?
And
we're not made of money out here.
And again, going back to it, Queen Anne's got a lot of good bars and restaurants. So if that is a concern, there's a lot of places that are steps away.
Probably a good time to shout out our friend Mike Lewis in the Streamline, which is right down the street.
Yeah.
Mike, who worked at Cairo Radio for a long time and is a good friend of ours and the station here. He owns the Streamline, which is right over there.
So and my good buddy's Bad Bar, right on the corner, too.
All right, we're shouting out everybody, right?
Yeah.
Just giving free publicity. Maybe they'll start paying for advertising.
Maybe they'll want to be involved.
Maybe. Who knows? I really enjoyed talking to Linda. Also really enjoyed the Jerry. We barely had time to talk about Jerry DePoto. I thought there was some good stuff in there. Certainly a lot of positivity with regards to Mitch Haniger. And, you know, Jerry had said before, hey, it takes two to tango. I'm paraphrasing, which I think led me and others to believe, hey, this may be a long shot to get
so
Mitch
the,
back
a
here.
A marriage has to be on both sides.
That's right. And yesterday and talking to him today, I certainly felt more positive that Jerry felt more positive about their chances of signing Mitch. He's not going to tell us here whether they're going to do that. But I thought that was a good sign if you want Mitch Haniger here. And maybe the Kyle Lewis injury is a part of that as well, right? The fact that Mitch was healthy all year long and that Kyle Lewis now looks like he's a huge risk. I mean, somebody you can't count on, unfortunately, right?
Yeah,
anything you get from him would be gravy. Maybe that does lead to an eventual extension here for Mitch Haniger. So that was interesting. And then his thoughts about positional flexibility and fitting in the clubhouse. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I started doing the Mike Salk thing where I heard words and started building bridges.
Right.
To nowhere.
So what did you bridge to?
That meant he was going after a shortstop and was like, you're going to play somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that doesn't take too much, right? You've got J.P. Crawford. He's your shortstop and a Gold Glover. There's no reason to move him.
That's what I was saying. Is
so
they're
are you
not
move?
Moving J.P.
Right.
And somebody else that's coming in will have to be open to move.
You know, it's funny. Buster Olney gave that article, and he listed the five big shortstops that are out there, and the only that being Seager, Correa, Story, Semien, and Baez. The only one he didn't connect the Mariners to is Baez. I think that might be the most likely one. I've sort of been on the Semien train from the beginning. I like Story potentially as a third baseman. I think Correa is a long shot. I think he's either staying in Houston or going to New York. Or Seager, either him or Seager going to New York, maybe the others in L.A. I don't see them in on Seager and Correa the same way. Story, Semien, and Baez really where I've focused my attention. And I don't know, something about listening to Jerry, something is sort of ringing Javier Baez to me.
I'm still on the Semien train. I think it's probably because your fault for convincing me that early. But
I like Semien a lot. I think he's a great fit to play second
base. And he's
West
Coast. He knows the division well.
Baez has some flair. He's got a little pop to him. I know he's somebody they were interested in at the trade deadline. Obviously, they weren't able to make that happen. There's just something about him. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling like a contrarian since Buster didn't have him on his list. But we'll see. It's going to be an interesting offseason, that's for sure. And we'll be talking to Jerry every Thursday morning. All right. Before we have a fantastic ranked, I promise it's a sports-related ranked today and a good one. Before we do that, we will talk to Brock Huard, as we do every day. What's his level of concern with Chris Carson? What does he think about Jacob Eason? We'll ask him next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock. How are we?
I'm doing well, Michael. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm just excited about the future with Jacob Eason. Guy can throw the ball through a brick wall.
How about Snohomish County, man, getting Luton and Eason, both Snohomish County kids with the Seahawks?
Quite is that
testament.
True? Luton's from here?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Snohomish County.
Where did he go to college?
He went to Oregon State. He had some injuries.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a talented kid. Both of them
he's
very,
tall,
very similar.
Right? He's 6'6". He made Russell look really small the other
night. Yeah, both of them are 6'6". Both of them can throw a football a long ways. And both of them, frankly, if they played in my era, would have been probably a little easier for them. Probably wouldn't have been undrafted or late round and fourth round. But the game's changed a little bit, Michael. You got to be able to create. And if you can't create, then you've got to be so sharp from the neck up. And I think that was obviously Jacob's challenge. Eason's at Washington with the Colts letting him go after just a couple years. And who knows? Maybe this opportunity.
Not even a couple. I mean, not even a year and a half.
That's
I mean, he was drafted in the fourth round as a quarterback in 2020. That's a year and a half.
It's not good.
No, it's not. And I appreciate that Pete and John are out there, you know, digging under every hole and every rock to try to find out whatever they can and bring somebody in to help. I have no issues with them doing this, but the idea that it would turn into something, I think, would be, I'd be surprised.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And you know, hopefully and I don't think it's ever a work ethic thing for Jacob Eason. I think that's the hard part, right? People thought, wow, you know, he's at Georgia and he just, you know, maybe he was a little bit immature there and he came here. He worked. He was a great teammate. Mm-hmm. He worked in Indy. I think playing that position, you know, you've got to bring something special to the table. You've got to have a brain that processes, like I was around with Peyton Manning, right? If you're not a tremendous athlete, if you can't run and extend plays and create in today's day and age, then you better be like Peyton was. You better be like Drew Brees. You better be like Tom Brady. You just better be able to see the field. You better be able to process the game at a unique level.
Or have a unique touch, a unique accuracy, a unique something, right?
And a unique skill set. Yeah.
My memory of watching Jacob Eason at Washington was, he's obviously got a cannon for an arm, but yep, when to use touch, when to throw it through the, you know, as hard as you can.
Yes.
Some of the escapability, I mean, some issues on fourth. Remember there were like fourth downs where he was running around and taking sacks. It's like,
yeah,
just throw the ball.
Yep.
Do something, right? Just throw the ball and just turning into sacks and into pressure. And that was a tough year, man. They were not good that year.
Well, and big expectations. And that was nearing the end of Chris Peterson, right? Was that Chris's?
This is last year.
Yeah, it's final year.
Yeah,
so
2019.
Yeah, no, I've talked to you about this before, a little bit off the air, and I've always wondered, and I don't know if Chris Peterson would ever say this, but it'd be fascinating if, you know, because there was a big QB competition that year, right? It was Eason and it was Hayner, and it was like, what are you talking about? There's no competition. This is ridiculous. This kid's a five-star. He's 6'6". He's going to be a first-round pick. He can throw it 80 yards, blah, 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 blah. But Peterson always loved Hayner and really tried to keep him around and knew that in this day and age, if he would have gone with Eason, that Hayner would transfer, which he did. And he transferred to Fresno and is having a tremendous season there. Mm. And obviously nearly beat the Ducks and has a chance to win the Mountain West championship there as the Bolt, you know, as those guys in position to do that. And it'd be interesting, wouldn't it, if Peterson could have gone that route, right? Yeah. And he could have gone with the undersized, not the five-star, not the big-time recruit, but just a guy that he believed in. It'd be interesting if both of those guys would still be here.
Did you hear what Jake Heap, sorry, another quarterback, Jake. Did you hear what Jake Heap said about
Jake
Chris
Locker,
Carson?
Jake Hayner, Jake Beeson.
It's really
Jake
remarkable.
Heaps.
Did you hear what Jake Heap said the other day about Chris Carson? I'll play this for you. It's a little concerning.
I understand they're still trying to figure out what's going on with him and everything, but the fear within the building, I'll just tell you this right now with Chris Carson, the fear within that building is that this thing is deteriorating for him, and if they can't settle his stinger issue down, his, you know, with the nerves in his neck and all that, that they're fearful, you know, I don't want to, you know, sound the alarms or anything, but, you know, Cliff Averill and Cam Chancellor
absolutely
have those same issues.
Yeah.
And when you're running back with the physicality of Chris Carson, that's a problem. That's a big problem.
What would be your level of concern there, Brock?
Pretty high. Pretty high. And I think the market in some ways spoke to some of that this offseason, right? When there was expectation and super talented guy, and when healthy, he's one of those unique guys in the league, Mike. You know, you can't put him in that class of, wow, you know, there's a whole group of running backs and then there's guys that just separate themselves because he's never available enough. He's never been able to stay healthy.
He's never made a Pro Bowl either.
No, but when he has been able to play for you stretches of 5 to 10 games, and when he is 100%, I mean, he's just different. You just can't tackle him. I mean, he is a vicious, violent runner. And unfortunately, a little bit like Cam Chancellor, who is a vicious, violent safety, that takes a toll and that takes a beating on your body. And yeah, that's a super unfortunate situation. I don't think it was one of those that, hey, I mean, they knew about this coming into the season. This was a risk they were going to take. I don't think it was anything like that, but it is certainly concerning now. And when you have neck issues, you have vertebrae issues, you have nerve stinger issues, yeah, bro, when you're that violent, that's a big deal.
You ready for Rashad Penny, though, to have a big game on Sunday? Monday, rather.
Oh, is Rashad coming back?
He is. He's back. He's back. He? Yeah, Pete said he's active. He's ready to go. He's getting. He's in perfect shape. As long as the workload doesn't build up on him too much, he should be just fine. That's a pizza.
And I know this is a hard one, and you kind of use him against me in the court of law in public opinion when I give my and state my case about injury history and availability.
Because right. he had no injury history.
Never in college. I mean, 4 years, and he was a special teamer. He was a kickoff return guy.
Oh, yeah.
On top of being a running back. I mean, there was nothing that would project or predict that he would have this kind of issue. But my goodness, man, that position since Marshawn Lynch – think about some of the cast of characters that you have had in there in the injury history. Who was the guy that just hurt everything?
Precise.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
He had the ankle, and then the knee, then the other knee.
The hip,
he broke his
abdomen,
wrist.
And then the kidney, the chest.
And I'm not putting Rashad Penny in the
elbow,
CJ Precise.
The wrist, the
You're
finger,
not, stop.
The jaw, the
All
ear,
right.
the head.
Stop showing off. Just because you were briefly a pre-med, there's no need to show off about all the places in the body you know.
It makes you appreciate, to me, it makes you appreciate Marshawn that much more, yep. man. The base, other than a sore back, right, or tight back on a couple occasions, once in Cleveland, outside of that, that dude was durable and reliable and available season after season after season after season. And from Procise to Penny to Chris Carson, talented dudes, man.
Yeah.
I mean, big and fast and strong and have a ceiling, right? And each of them has shown you, Carson more than the other two, but all of them have shown you flashes of absolute brilliance. Mm. But unfortunately, at that position, availability is the most important ability.
All right, we got to go here.
We do?
Great, yes, we do, unfortunately. Good stuff yesterday on the Brock and Salk podcast. Good Seahawks conversation. And if you're interested, Brock and I, two people that disagree widely on a lot of political issues, were able to have a conversation about what's happening at Washington State University and about Nick Rolovich that did not devolve and actually, like, you know, ended okay. So if you're interested, you can find it at brockandsalkpodcast.com.
Sounds good, buddy.
We're still friends, right?
Absolutely.
Mostly.
And I'll talk to you from, like, Des Moines or Ames, Iowa tomorrow.
Ames, that would be great. All right, okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you. There you go. Now, here is Brock every day at 7:45 and again at 9:30. If you miss it, you get an opportunity to hear Brock. And it is true. We did manage to debate the whole Rolovich thing yesterday, and we didn't kill each other. We didn't really get mad at each other. It was pretty good. Honestly, I would recommend if you got a few minutes and you're willing to, like, you know, listen to something like that.
That's my grocery store shopping listen. That's what I listen to the Brock and Salk podcast while I grocery shop.
Oh, I appreciate that. That seems like a great time for that. You can just put headphones in while you're doing stuff like that?
AirPods, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I can't do that. I need to be fully
Can't
focused.
Do two things at once?
Well, I can, but I don't want to do that. Like, I want to focus on my grocery shopping.
Oh, you don't have a list that you follow?
I mean, I do. I have a list, but also I like to walk around and make some decisions. Oh, maybe I'll do this. Oh, you know what? I could use water chestnuts. How about that? Like, I don't mind, like, kind of going through Whole Foods and finding things that, oh, wait, I forgot I needed that. You only work off your list?
Yeah, I'm pretty simple,
man. I go grocery shopping 3, maybe 4 times a week, so I'm constantly in the grocery store.
I'm real simple. I have my go-tos. I mean, I know what I'm doing Monday. Tuesday's always fish, and then I go on.
No, I need this little variety. It's a spice of life. So it was funny. I know people who live in the suburbs. They've got big freezers and stuff like that, and so they'll go to Costco or whatever and buy, like, you know, 7.5 pounds of chicken for their family. And, like, we don't do that at all. Like, I go in, whatever, I go get it for that night and maybe the next night, and then I just go back the next day. And
I do that too.
Yeah.
I love going out to the freezer when I go home to Montana and just be like, all right, which do we do? Elk burger? We doing elk smokies?
That would be great.
Elk steaks?
Believe me, if I had room in the house for another fridge or a freezer, I would definitely do that. But in the meantime, like, I just stop in every day and buy whatever I want. All right. We have lists to make, and we've got a good one today, so don't go anywhere. It's coming up next. Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
And we got a texter saying, I want to focus on my grocery shopping. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. I like grocery shopping. Like, I enjoy
focusing
that
on it. It's like you're studying.
But I'll forget stuff, and then I go home and I'm like, oh darn it, I needed, you know, skinny popcorn or whatever, and then I, like, got to go back and I don't have what I wanted. So, oh, I needed to get garlic. Darn it.
So again, you don't check things off your list as
I
you
do,
walk
but
the
sometimes
store.
There's more than just the list.
Okay, maybe I'm just saying your process is flawed. Maybe that's all I'm going to say.
But I enjoy my process.
The flawed process. Okay,
all right, so we were mentioning earlier today that we've had a couple of big name changes in the world in the news. Kanye West is becoming Ye, officially.
Officially.
Like, with the government. And
Facebook is rebranding.
Yeah, Facebook's going to rebrand. They may become Meta.
Don't worry, they're going to remain just as toxic as they always have been. They're just going to change the name a little bit.
Everything should be fine then.
I think it's going to be Meta. We're still not sure how
it's going
to be
called. I still like the idea of adding back in the. Becoming the Facebook after all these years.
I would like it if Mark just named it after himself. Zuckerface. Or just something just obnoxious. Why not? You're already that guy.
Well, with that in mind, let's rank the five best name changes in sports.
I'm going to start with somebody who I didn't realize that, I don't know if this is legally changed or not, but it is at least on the TV when they talk about
okay.
it. JJ Jenkins, Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
Yeah, so Janoris, right? Then JJ, but he's Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
Yeah, but JJ is Janoris Jermaine Jenkins. I always refer to him as JJ. That's
I think Jack Rabbit's the best nickname I've ever
heard.
It's
an incredible nickname.
Yeah. I want to be Jackrabbit Salk. I don't feel like it has the same ring as Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Not. It does not. Mm. I think we should move on from that one.
I think somebody may call me something else that starts with Jack.
Sure.
Just going to guess that if Salk is going to get a Jack nickname, it's not going to be Jackrabbit.
Moving on, speaking of Jack, the things that he was known for being, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace. Later, though, there was another one, and Maura filled me in on this. I didn't know all the details of this, so Maura, you tell us what the next name was.
Oh, well, and then apparently, so he said he went to Meta World Peace because he thought people couldn't say, I hate world peace.
Right.
And then he went on to be, he changed it to Meta Ford Artest. He said he combined, his wife is Maya Ford, so he put her name in there. And then he went to play for the Chinese Basketball Association and changed it to Friend of Panda?
Panda's friend. It's just, okay. Yeah, so that's obviously on the list.
He's number four in all of his general weirdness.
This one might throw you, but the New Orleans Hornets becoming the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yes. Do you say New Orleans?
I say New Orleans. I know it's New Orleans, but it's New Orleans. I got corrected on this every time I go to New Orleans. Like, it's not NOLA, it's not Nollins, it's New Orleans.
But there's an S at the end,
yes,
right?
Yes, New Orleans.
But you said New Orleans.
I'm sorry. Well, it's when they say it's a New Orleans Hornets. I always forget the S. I'm sorry.
It feels like there should be an S.
There is. New Orleans.
But they're
Hornets.
The Pelicans. Not the Pelican.
So, yes, it's plural.
Pelican, not Pelicant.
What was wrong with the Hornets?
Well, they were sort of associated with Charlotte, right?
Yeah.
And so...
Pelican is much less intimidating.
What is the team in Charlotte called now? Are they the Bobcats still, or are they the Hornets?
No. I think they went to the Hornets.
They went back to being the Hornets,
rid of the Bobcats. So it was named after their owner, right? Was it Bob something?
Yeah, Bob.
Okay. Yeah,
it was. But now I think they're the Hornets again. So maybe that went, there was a whole like name shifting thing.
Okay, now moving on.
Okay.
Starting with, and there's like 500 different names, and I don't even know which one they officially still go by, according to like popular culture. The Los Angeles Angels.
Of Anaheim.
No, but then it was the California Angels.
Originally.
Then it was the Anaheim Angels. Now it's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Right. They were never just the Los Angeles Angels, though, right?
I think they were.
No. I think they started as the California Angels.
According to the always reliable Wikipedia, the Los Angeles Angels were from 61 to 65.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Then the California Angels, Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, now back to the Los Angeles Angels.
I didn't realize that. So they've had four names. But always been the Angels. What a ridiculous
team. It's
just
an absurd thing.
I hate the Angels.
It's just in that stadium. Have you been to that stadium?
Many times.
Okay.
Probably other than Fenway and here, the stadium I've been to the most.
Right next to Disneyland.
It's super manufactured looking. It's like all veneer like in Las Vegas.
And then the number one.
Our biggest name change in all of sports.
Has to be.
Oh, it's an easy one.
Chad Johnson.
How can you not?
Chad Ochocinco.
I love Chad Ochocinco.
I thought about going with like the He Hate Me, but that wasn't really quite as much of a long-lasting, but that was a really great name to see on the back of a jersey.
Yes.
But Ochocinco's the best.
Chad Johnson actually legally changed it, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. His name is Chad Ochocinco.
Then he went back. He went back to Johnson.
He did?
Yeah, he did go back to Johnson.
Oh,
but he's still Ocho.
Chad Ochocinco's so funny. It's not 85, it's 8-5, right? 85 would be something else, but he's Chad 8-5. I just think that's so funny. Of all the like kind of gutsy things to do, like I always kind of respected that. I think it's funny.
Hear me out. Somebody from the 415, nicknamed Maura Pepper.
No.
So it can be Salk and Pepper.
No,
that's not happening.
One of my best friends since I was 14 is named Pepper, so that would be weird.
Also, I've heard people, like, people have tried to make this salt and pepper joke forever. It's
not
funny.
Oh, has it? Oh,
it's never been funny. It never will be funny.
Man.
You're just going to end this show on a down note. Maybe we'll go to New Orleans and try to reconvene there. What do you mean, come on?
New Orleans.
All right.
New Orleans.
No.
Well, it's like an N and then a U. The guy was very specific on this.
I sat
next to him
but
at a Saints game.
But there's still an S.
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
It's like new, and it's like you almost just jump into Orleans. Orleans.
I get it. It's
Someone
not New Orleans.
Just started listening because they said no meta world peace.
Yeah, we got him.
Yeah, that was on
No World Be Free, though. That's definitely always been one of my favorites. World Be Free. What a great name. All right, we got to go. Jake and Stacey are coming up next. Thanks to Linda Cohn. She was great today. Thanks to Jerry DePoto and his thoughts on where maybe they can go with Mitch Haniger. I thought that was pretty interesting. We can come back to that tomorrow. G. Scott will be with us at 8 o'clock. We are negotiating to talk to Steve Levy, hopefully Monday. But we'll be getting ready, man. It's going to be fun. What a great weekend planned. Here in Seattle. We'll catch you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. See ya.